Hello and welcome. You're watching We the People. I'm Rishika Barua. The 2024 general election is as much being fought amid soaring temperatures on the ground as it is in the cool and comfort of the virtual world. With political parties, personalities and our mantris using the might of social media influencers to increase their influence in the upcoming election. Be it culture, fashion or fitness, political parties are tapping into influencers on social media to push their political message. So while every brand is buying your and my attention at a price, the question is, why not our netas? But can the same rules of a free market economy apply when it comes to driving narratives in a democratic election? The answer is not that simple. The likes of Bear Biceps, Curly Tails and even Elvis Yadav and so many others have become household names. These are individuals who've interviewed more mantris and netas than any political journalist in the recent past. These interviews have gone viral. They are mostly non-critical, non-controversial, soft and many would say rather watchable. It makes sense, right? With over 800 million people online, India has the largest number of internet users in the world and the biggest presence on YouTube and Instagram globally. And with a massive boost in rural connectivity, the medium is now increasingly all-pervasive. A study on influencer collaboration on YouTube and how it is changing political outreach in the 2024 elections clearly says that it is advantage BJP when it comes to this space. The question more often than not that are being posed by these influencers are to endorse a positive narrative around the Prime Minister. And a lot of these interviews are done in the name of government engagement, which has also raised a fair stink around funding. Now, amid this row, the Information and Broadcasting Ministry has clarified in Parliament that no money was spent on influencers and that these influencers were empaneled by the MyGov app through four agencies with an aim to disseminate information on government schemes. However, despite the government clarification, there are questions and there are red flags that remain. A lack of disclaimers to begin with on paid and unpaid collaborations on social media. There's no way to control fake news, many say, and how Election Commission of India rules that apply to journalists, to media organizations don't necessarily apply to influencers. The Election Commission of India has also said that they are closely monitoring the space of indirect publicity for parties on social media and will seek accountability on social media political campaigns as well. But there are still many questions on how the model code of conduct, for instance, will apply to the online space. How will all of this actually work? How will they hold people accountable? All of these are big questions that still need to be answered. But how do young voters look at this space? Is this new age campaign actually working? Is this indirect marketing perhaps the future of political campaigns? We have an audience of young voters, many of them first-time voters who are joining us in the NDTV studios today. Thank you all very much for being here. We also have influencers joining us, NDTV's very own Arun Singh. He's a digital creator, social media influencer. He has over 1 million followers on Instagram. Thanks, Arun, for being with us. I know you're traveling all over the country right now for the NDTV Youth Vote campaign. Keertika Govindswamy, she's a YouTuber and a social media influencer. She was recently awarded at the National Creators Award in Storytelling by Prime Minister Modi. And also joining us, Professor Joyajit Pal, Associate Professor, School of Information, University of Michigan. He's one of the authors of the report on influencer collaboration that I just, in fact, talked about. So it's very good to have you as well. And we also have with us Dr. Nikhil Kumar Singhmar. He is a social media and political consultant, somebody who watches this space very closely. So thank you all very much for making the effort, being here on the show. But I want to begin this show by talking to the young voters that we have, because I want to try and get a sense and understand how is it that these interviews are actually being perceived? How is political marketing through social media influencers actually being perceived by young voters? So have you watched any of these interviews of any of the ministers on social media, and how have you felt about it? Let me begin by asking you.
Yes. My main question is about the misinformation and the criticism of the right now government.
Okay.
Like our social media influencers mislead the information about our government and criticize any special government, any special political party.
So misinformation and the lack of a critical narrative is, I think, what you're getting at. Okay, that's an interesting question. Anyone else? You have a question?
Yeah. I would like to ask like this regarding this misinformation thing. Like we have all seen that viral reel that Modi ji ne war rukwa di papa. But when Jai Shankar was directly asked on Lalan Top interview, he said, yes, I was present there, but a prime minister cannot just directly call president and was like, stop the war, hamare Indians ma fase hue. Why is this fake propaganda is being highlighted on?
Okay, so fake news on social media. Well, I think that's an important question. You have a question as well. Go ahead.
I think my question to especially the YouTubers is that whenever they mention or they do any interview with the ministers, does it affect their content also? That yeah, people label them right-wing or left-wing, so does it affect their content also?
Okay, we'll pose that to the influencers we have. Any of you have questions?
Yeah. My question is that giving awards to the National Creator Awards recently, given by the Pradhan Mantri of India, was it a political strategy of BJP to gain votes?
We have one of the award winners with us, so we'll take that question to her as well. Yes.
Ma'am, my question is that political parties are supporting influencers blindly. No matter, while their work has nothing to do with the society, culture, national interest, nothing. And then after some time, we get to know that the influencers are being involved in illegal activities. Hmm. So what does it mean?
You're talking about the Elvish case. Okay, that's an interesting question. Front benchers, questions?
Ma'am, my question is, are the politicians trying to create a fan base rather than voters?
Okay, fans or voters. So that means you've enjoyed watching some of these interviews.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think they're quite watchable. You have a question?
Yeah, my question is about the lack of restrictions on social media. Recently, Lalu Prasad Yadav's younger son indirectly threatened Unfiltered by Sandesh on his YouTube channel and faced no consequences for it. Is it correct for the son of such an esteemed politician?
What did he say?
He said something about cutting his beard and cutting his neck.
Okay. So is it fair? It's a no-hold-barred space and there are no rules and regulations that are governing it. I think that's why we're having these conversations. So you've heard what the young voters have to say. I think most people, the operative part here is that most people are actually consuming this content. I want to begin, Arun Singh, by asking you, I know you've sort of grown with this space. So I want to begin by asking you, how does this space really work? I think there are many questions that the young voters have actually asked about these collaborations. Who's paying who? And are you legally obligated to disclose any kind of paid partnerships or is it more a moral obligation? Everyone can really just do whatever they like. How does it work?
So, of course, Rishika, there are two ways to go about it. One is a formal way and one is the informal way. The formal way is usually government sends out tenders that these agencies have to fill. Now, you have to consider that there's an agency who's managing all these influencers and they have a mixed bag of you know, different kind of influencers. Some are big, some are small in numbers. And once they get the tender, and that is what Beer Biceps Agency, which is Monk Entertainment, that he co-owns with his one of his friends. That's what they explained in their explanation that, you know, this is how we got the tender. That's how we got these interviews. And these were not paid. That was the explanation, which explains the formal way of doing it. And then, of course, there's an informal way. We, of course, discuss how, you know, influencers are also promoting or supporting one party. So that's an informal way of doing it. It could be a review of an expressway that PM Modi would have inaugurated and an influencer going there and all praises about the prime minister. So that could be another informal way of promoting or supporting a particular politician or a party. Coming to your next question, Rishika, that is there a legal obligation to reveal that, you know, I have taken money for this post. So see, it's a fairly new space. There are ASCII guidelines, you know, advertising guidelines in place. And there have been many influencers fined also when they promote a product without revealing that they have taken money or favors from the brand. But I'm not too sure if that space is very active at the moment. I ask this
in the beginning as well, that, you know, do lines blur when you're selling product versus opinion or when you're entering into political campaign? You know, can the same rules really apply? Kirtika, thanks very much for being with us. Congratulations on winning an award from the Prime Minister. I want to ask you what some of the young members in the audience have asked. You know, this entire National Creators Award that was held in the National Capital, a very big deal was made out of it. And I know a lot of you creators have done fantastic work in your respective fields. But do you think it's promoted a positive narrative towards the government in a certain sense? How would you like to answer that question?
Definitely it did, because there were so many influencers there. I think the auditorium was so big and it was filled with creators. So even if everybody is posting about something, even if everybody is sharing a story or something about it, people will definitely talk about it. So it definitely set a positive narrative towards the government.
Right.
Because the people you see every day on your Instagram or YouTube are talking about it, so that you also, like, naturally it happens. It's not like, if you're being there with the Prime Minister's event, obviously we want to post about it because it's a big deal for us now.
Yes.
So I did set a positive narrative.
I also want to ask you, Kirtika, in terms of, you know, the kind of content that you post on your page, there are a lot of explainers. I mean, I've scanned through your page. You know, you've sort of done this whole Mythbuster, say, around CAA, many would say a positive spin to it, or however you'd like to put it. How does the average consumer understand this? Is it when you do something which is pro a certain political party or pro a certain narrative, has the party reached out to you to do this, or is this your own personal opinion? Do you disclose that, for instance, that this is my personal opinion and that's why I'm making this reel?
Okay, once, it's not the party, once from the creator media, you know, from that My Government people, once they asked me to post about this creator event, like they asked me to... people to vote for me. I said, see, it's not benefiting for the people, it's benefiting for the creators. So I can't promote it. I'll ask them in the stories to vote for me, but I cannot make a reel or something. I openly said them and they left it right there.
Hmm.
And still I got the award. So nobody never asked me to, you know, push me to post something or, you know, do this, do that. I'm not the kind of person who would
listen. Interesting. No, that's very interesting, and I appreciate an honest answer. I also want to, you know, ask you a little more about what happens to follower reach, etc., when you post political content. We'll come to that in just a bit. But like I said, I have two very keen watchers of this space as well. Professor Jarjeet Pal, thanks very much. I know it's very early in the morning where you are. Appreciate you joining us. I want to ask you, you know, this paper that you wrote was very interesting because you've essentially talked about a whole new realm of election campaign where it's clearly advantage BJP, a whole new dimension to the 2024 campaign. How do you see this playing out now that we're almost at the election?
Well, firstly, this is not something that is specific to India at all. We've seen the same thing happen in the U.S., elections where there is a primary process and a lot of politicians who were standing for primary elections, instead of going to mainstream news channels, they decided to go to influencers. And like with India, they were going to influencers who don't necessarily do political content, which is very important, because we as citizens are used to seeing politicians on stage or in a very formal setting where they are speaking to us in a monologue style. Instead, what you see when they are with influencers is they are behaving like the rest of us do. So this is a politician eating vada pav. Oh, how cool. And so you get to humanize the politician in a way that you wouldn't in a television interview. And more importantly, when a politician goes on a television channel, that television channel has a pre-existing polarization. So you might say, okay, if you're going to NDTV, NDTV's general voter tends to be this party, or Republic TV's general voter tends to be that party. So you, as a politician, don't get a real benefit from that, because that voter base you already own, as opposed to going to somebody who does some kind of technical product. They have a range of people who include voters from BJP, Congress, etc.
Yes, I also want to say, and I read the paper that you've published. It was very interesting, eye-opening, because I think you've analyzed a cross-section of interviews, at least in the Indian context. I also want to ask you that, you know, it's a very different kind of a narrative, isn't it? It's a much softer, non-controversial, like you said, you know, humanizing the politician. I think this is also a very interesting spin, and perhaps, would you say, targeted at the young voter? And that's a huge vote base right now in our country.
It is targeted at a young voter, but there is also something specific about how a political journalist does an interview if they're doing an honest interview versus how an influencer does an interview. As a political journalist, you know what are the issues that you want to interrupt somebody on. You know what are the issues where there's something right or wrong about the policy because you studied that.
Yes.
As an influencer, you might be an expert at fashion, travel, what have you. That doesn't mean that you're not necessarily a smart person.
Sure.
But you're not used to... railroading a politician
so
in a way that...
So it's an easier space to navigate as far as the person being interviewed is concerned.
That is correct.
Yes. You know, I also want to ask Dr. Nikhil Kumar, very simple question to you. I think that a lot of the young audience has raised, and I'm so glad that they have, because the big concern here, or rather the biggest red flag perhaps, is misinformation and fake news. How do you control what is being said? How do you fact check it? How do you tell people that, look, this is absolutely wrong, or this is one person's perception which is being sold as the fact? How do you deal with misinformation and fake news?
Yeah, thank you so much, Rishika, for inviting me here. So it's very difficult to check the fake news or misinformation or echo chamber effect in digital times in Indian politics context. So actually, government tried to curb the fake news by introducing the Intermediaries Act in India. But what happens is that not only the BJP, for example, any political parties, they don't take the fake news. But affiliated person, those people who are affiliated with these organization or political party, they spread the fake news. So what happened in that case? So in that case, the election commission even don't take action. So when we are talking about social media influencer, so in Indian context, still there are no rule and regulation. That's a very disappointing things because it's very necessary things to check on the social media platform or social media influencer activity, because without this, you cannot control, what you can say is that an open space where everyone will have equal space.
Right, that's very interesting because there are no controls. Professor Pal, do you want to quickly jump in here as well as far as misinformation and fake news is concerned? How do you control it? There's absolutely no way you can control what someone says or doesn't.
So firstly, I think just thinking in terms of misinformation or fake news is wrong.
Okay.
Because the majority of what you're seeing right now, not explicit misinformation, which you can say, oh, this is a lie, and therefore I will have it taken down. Instead, what you're seeing is a lot of innuendo or suggestion of something which might not be explicitly censorable. So if I say, okay, NDTV is NDTV funded by China? Well, technically, I'm not saying something that you can explicitly debunk. You can have a conversation. Yeah. So that trend has really increased, where even the influencers and the politicians themselves have learned to phrase things in a certain way to present them such that they don't look like misinformation.
Okay.
But here, the government has a massive advantage over opposition, because if you, as an influencer, are interviewing hypothetically somebody who is in such and such ministry, then you are doing something which is, let's, in the national interest. You're interviewing somebody who's important to the whole country.
Which is, I think, the argument you make in the paper about why this is advantage BJP all the way, because they are in government. A lot of this is done in the name of dissemination of information on several schemes, etc., which are also used as a poll plank and campaign strategy. I want to ask you, Kirtika, the question on how does political opinions on your page or videos or reels that you make about political ideologies, how does it affect your follower base? Do you see a big boost, say when you talk about the Prime Minister or something like that?
I haven't made any political opinions in the first place. What I talk is about history, and what I talk is about current affairs, the issues that is going on. Never made it.
Current affairs. Let me rephrase. How does current affairs content affect your follower base?
to be honest, before this national award, when my community was this sweet little community where I just get to share the facts and, you know, in my opinion, it was all fine. After this national award, I do get a lot of hate, like people, whatever if I say, I don't know.
Hate?
A lot.
Okay.
I didn't realize the CAA issue came after I got the award that, I don't know, I didn't even realize that this would be an issue. I just posted that video about the CAA because that they implemented, na? So I posted it and everybody is like, now you showed your true color and all. Like, I didn't realize that this is a thing, okay? Because, see, it's not something that I have to explain. You can
Do you think, Kirtika, influencers who are, say, and I know that, you know, you haven't done any of these interviews, but influencers who are, say, interviewing government ministers or even those in the opposition, there is obviously, like Arun explained at the very outset, these are very well institutionalized mechanisms. Do you think there needs to be more disclaimer, there needs to be more transparency given to people on the modalities of how these interviews or this content is being created? As someone who's in the space, you're in the thick of it, what do you think
First of all, there shouldn't be any monetary benefits between a politician and an influencer. Because if you're doing so, you're like, you just lost your basic ethics. There shouldn't be any monetary benefits at all. If you're doing this interview as an interviewer, I will definitely do it. If I get to interview Mr. Jaishankar, I would happily do it. I would die to do it. Okay. But if there's some sort of money involved, then I'm in a condition where I'll have to talk what they like. I'll have to ask the questions what they like. So there shouldn't be any sort of money involved. Because you're an influencer, people trust you for who you are.
Many would say very idealistic view. Arun, how do you look at this? I know you haven't ventured much into the political space per se. But you are doing a lot of stuff with young voters, and I'm sure that, you know, you must be trying to strike some kind of a balance in the kind of content that you do. How does it work? Does the responsibility just lie on your discretion or the day you're having?
Of course, I think responsibility lies on us, and as she rightly pointed, that there shouldn't be that connection, and if there is, I think there should be a quick and clear disclaimer about it. And it's not only about BJP, there's Aam Aadmi Party, which hired influencers in the last season. And then there's BRS also, who's really high on influencer or hiring influencers to promote their schemes. So it's not just one party, several parties are doing. But I really want to point out that lines are blurred. In one of our events, I asked Ministry of INB, Anurag Thakur, that, you know, you just held national awards before the election, so was it strategic?
Yes.
And he said, no, we did it absolutely to recognize or acknowledge the efforts that creators are doing, which is absolutely correct. That's not a wrong answer. I absolutely agree with what he said. But, you know, again, the lines are blurred.
You have to read between the lines.
There'll always be that gray area. And as she also pointed, you know, there's an allegation of quid pro quo also.
Yeah.
So
and I think one of the audience members also raised a very important point, Arun, about, you know, who does this benefit? Because even when a social media influencer's interview is a particular politician, it does brand you. Kirtika said she's been criticized a lot or she's been trolled a lot after the award. So I think there are two sides of the coin, isn't there, Arun?
100%. But I definitely think it brings you a lot of clout, because if you are interviewing a sitting minister, that interview is going to be watched. Let's say if today I interview a big politician, and there might be new audiences finding that interview and then resulting in increase of followers for me.
Right.
So 100% there's a clear benefit here, which is of clout.
So I also want to end then on that note, because what you said is very interesting. If you look at this space as an outsider, it's a win-win for the political narrative, whichever party or politician it may be, belonging to whichever party, because they get a fair bit of control, you know, like Professor Pal explained, they get a fair bit of control over the narrative. It's a big boost for the influencer, because you get to tap into a whole different world of followers. There is legitimacy, there is popularity that comes with it. So it's a win-win as far as the political party and the political narrative and the influencers are concerned. But what really for the consumer? I think that's the big question. And I think on We the People, the question we're asking here is that what are we going to do, or what are we going to see happen going forward when it comes to more transparency in this new space What are we going to see happen when it comes to more accountability in the news space? And of course, the million-dollar question on fake news and information. Can we, misinformation, can we really crack down and be able to control that better? I think those are some of the questions that need to be answered. This is a new age campaign tool that we're dabbling with. You've heard from the voters, you've heard from the experts, and you've heard from the influencers. We hope this conversation has been interesting. We will continue to get you more sub stories on We the People. That's all the time I have tonight. Good night, and thanks for watching.